Ladies and gentlemen, we here at Hey Kids Comics have a very special announcement for you. If you can hear our voices,
that's both of us.
That's both. That's Jedi Cole and Andrew Farmer here at Hey Kids Comics. Then you can also see our faces.
Yes, at last. If you haven't had enough of seeing my face on the Rancor Pit Live, why, what's this?
Now you can see both of our faces from Hey Kids Comics Live, starting September 13th. From 11:30 to 12:30 Central at deepelemonair.com, we're going to be coming to you live with Hey Kids Comics.
Absolutely. Second Saturday of every month forever.
Expect the same asshattery that you're getting here now, plus your standard fare of guests, and a whole lot of fun. So
that's Cole, special new features that we just can't bring you on an audio show.
That's true.
Unless you just wanted to listen to us describe things.
And it's a much longer show. It's a much longer show that way. So, Cole, tell them how they can get in touch with us if they want to be able to be a part of this show.
Do you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and want to be a part of Hey Kids Comics Live?
Hey Kids Comics Live!
Hey Kids Comics Live! So, if you want to be part of the show, write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com and let us know that you want to be on the show. Just put Hey Kids Comics Live, or for those pressed for time, HKC exclamation point live.
Remember the phrase that pays, it's Hey Kids Comics Live. And we will make sure that we get your question or comment into the show. You can also write us or call us on air. We're going to give you all that information coming up on Facebook and on Twitter. And as we get it on the show itself, second Saturday of every month, 11:30 to 12:30 Central. Stay tuned for your regularly scheduled Hey Kids Comics and more info on this as it develops.
Everybody was kung fu. They fought with expert timing.
God help us all.
That's right. Batten down the hatches. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hey Kids Comics, issue 106. I am Andrew Farmer, your host. With me, as always, is your co-host, producer, showrunner, network runner, Cole, the Jedi Cole Houston.
That was a very poor gong.
That's why
I lost my job as a Foley artist on Prairie Home Companion. I filled in 1 week. And, I couldn't do screeching tires for the Guy Noir segment, so they asked me to leave.
And tonight we are joined by, usually he's just Bobby Blakey. Usually it's Bobby Blakey. Like, he, the man that needs no introduction. Tonight we are joined by Master Blakey.
Yes.
And I'm always bothered every time I hear that, because there's going into the word Blakey after saying master could take you in so many directions.
Master Blakey.
And this is one of the main reasons that I refuse to be in class known as Master Blakey, because I would giggle every time somebody would say it.
You need to have
giggle master, like a little schoolgirl that you are.
You need to have Master Blakey's dojo, which
when I read it, like when other people post like a picture and they'll say, you know, Master Blakey was such and such. it's okay then, because I can read it and it's not as funny. When I hear it said, it's way more entertaining.
But
open your own dojo as someone whose last name is like Bader.
Right. I'd probably do it where it's not as obvious, but it becomes obvious, like call yourself like Tater.
Yeah.
No, it has to be something about like Master Blakey's Greater Dallas Dojo, and it needs to be like Master Blakey, and then under it Greater Dallas, so it reads Master Greater or Master Blakey, however you want to read it. It would be it's a double whammy. You can have that one. That one's free for you.
I'm gonna, I'm going to lose all credibility on being on this show.
Whatever you had. Plus,
that's the one world whammy. I still had some.
Double whammy is actually Blakey's fighting style.
It is. I've seen it firsthand and secondhand.
And I unleashed a whirlwind of fury.
So Bobby,
you have one of those little drums like in Karate Kid 2?
Oh, jeez.
I do own one.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
You don't use it in class, though.
No, I'm trying to make a salient point here about the resume of Master Blakey. Why are we calling you Master Blakey, Bobby? I don't think anybody knows this. Like, I'm trying to...
Because I have sleeves.
Okay. Oh, who's ruining whose credibility here?
I think you thought this was like 1710 cast or something.
That's right.
I totally logged on to the wrong show. Sorry about that. that's the next one I'm doing. Well, I don't personally call myself master, but I'm assuming you're referring to that because of my martial arts background.
I am, and that's something that a lot of people that are in this community might not know, is that you
especially
are steeped
with the level of grief we give you on a regular basis,
right?
Whether you're on the show or not,
we Cole and I like to live dangerously. That's
living
on
the
edge. We
like
to like slap the cobra on the top of the head just for fun.
That's what you do at Master Blakey's. Oh wait, that's a whole nother.
Ugly slap the head.
So how many belts do you have, Bobby?
Oh, Lord.
I'm asking you to brag on yourself. I know it's very difficult for you.
I have two different... do you want me to go in like detail or just...
You could, yeah, why not? This is a martial arts show. By the way, everybody, this is a martial arts show.
Douchebag like I have.
No, you're here. Okay, so before you do that, we are doing issue 106 of Hey Kids Comics is all about martial arts comic book characters. That's why we brought Bobby into a slightly different capacity than we usually do, which is dick and fart jokes, to actually discuss with some level of cogency the martial arts behind comics.
But there will be dick and fart jokes.
Of course there will. Are you kidding? We've already made an 800 masturbation.
That's the reason we had you on the show.
Right, you're the perfect weapon. You're the perfect weapon for this show.
Okay, so I have to ask you one question, Bobby.
Yes, sir.
Do you like matching, Mr. Lawrence?
So Bobby's a martial artist, and Bobby teaches martial arts, and Bobby is awesome and dangerous and all those things.
The thing about it is, he epitomizes the reality of the martial arts is that a man achieves a level at which he can kill another man with his bare hands, yet has the wisdom and the poise and the grace to do so. And Bobby has borne this out repeatedly, because all Con should have been a massacre year after year, and it hasn't happened.
Well, and not to mention the last one where I invited it by saying, let's spar. The guy who did like amateur wrestling in high school and has taken like 7 martial arts classes in his life is like, show me some stuff in my drunken stupor. And Bobby hit me 7 times before I could put my beer on a table. That's pretty much what happened. He's like, watch this.
In your defense, I hadn't drank that much that night.
That's true.
So I didn't have to unleash the drunken kung fu.
So if,
good for you.
So if you've listened to the show in the past, we sort of have a weakness, a soft spot for the martial arts oriented, for the martial oriented characters in all comic books. So we've, you know, and Cole will bring up at the drop of a hat. At
if
the drop of a clay jug.
Sounds remotely like Shang or Chi. I will bring
my
up.
My man.
My man. We'll talk. We've talked about every, you know, but we decided to dedicate an entire issue of Hey Kids Comics to those characters. So we thought we'd bring Bobby on and have a little conversation about martial arts and comics.
Bobby, since you refuse to, lay out.
Well, I'll tell you if you want to know. Here's the issue is one of the things in anybody that's kind of been bred in like traditional martial arts as opposed to, you know, just going to a regular karate class or just MMA or just kickboxing, you know what I mean? One of the things that's like beat into our head is you're not supposed to talk about it. But society has changed.
Oh, it's like Fight Club. Cool.
It was kind of like here's kind of, and a lot of people don't know this. Like I talk about it a lot more than I would have 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
Because back when I was coming up, you know, in the early 80s and whatnot, is it was a different time because now you can find some kind of a martial arts school in every strip mall, every other block.
Right.
back in the day, you might find one in the city and it might be in a rec center and you may not know it's there. You know, and the whole premise is you were supposed to learn martial arts. You were supposed to take in the tradition and the philosophies and all those kind of things. And you don't tell anybody. In theory, you weren't even supposed to tell your family because nobody's supposed to know that you know this. You know, because it was always supposed to be a surprise. It was always supposed to be. So you could unleash if you had to. And society on that has changed because everybody and their grandmother, that I'm sure we'll go into in comics as well, either know somebody in martial arts, has been in martial arts, or they put martial arts in everything.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, my favorite breakfast cereal is the Kellogg's Martial Arts. It's a kick in your breakfast with a fistful of vitamins and minerals.
Well, I need some of that for this drink. This is killing me. But I'll tell you. I mean, my primary history is Taekwondo. I've been doing Taekwondo for like 30 years. I have a 5th degree in Taekwondo and a 6th degree in American Taekwondo. And then, of course, I also have, of course, duh.
Of course, of course. of course.
Why wouldn't you?
And that's what I'm afraid of. Of course comes out, and now it starts saying, and of course I have more.
Yeah. Yes.
But I have.
I have to ask, do you have a chain belt?
I on my bicycle.
Okay. Wait, you have a bicycle?
I have the belt still.
Okay.
But I also have a first degree in American Jiu-Jitsu, and I'm actually next month testing for my black belt in Kobudo, which is an Okinawan weapon system, and then I have an orange belt in judo, and then I've trained in about 15 other systems, but I don't actually have belts in the other ones.
So
you have death sentence on 12 systems.
Yes.
He also so he's essentially the Batman of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Nobody knows it.
He's like fandom's own Batman.
He is. So that's Bobby. That's why we had him on here, is because we needed somebody that wouldn't just, you know, make a mockery of what we're talking about today.
We're going to make a mockery of ourselves.
That's right. So
have no fear, there will still be mocking and mockery happening throughout this podcast.
So I want to start this in the kind of traditional way that we always start, you know, that we have in the past started a show like this, which is I kind of want to do the round robin and just ask what your favorite martial arts character is, barring Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu. Okay. No, Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi's his own. We all love Shang-Chi.
Yeah, well,
to varying degrees.
This show is now clearly over.
Yes, right. Yeah. And we're done.
That was the only one I had on my list.
All of my research was the name Shang-Chi written over and over again.
Just throw that out right now.
So, Bobby, barring Shang-Chi, who and why is your favorite martial arts character?
Iron Fist was my most probably obsessed with, but it wasn't one that I read a lot of comics with him in it.
Okay.
The reason I think I kind of connected with that character so early was not only because it was an American guy doing martial arts.
Right.
But when I was growing up, before I got into comics, my dad was heavily into comics, right?
Okay, yeah.
He would never admit it now, but he one of the series he used to read were Power Man and Iron Fist.
Nice.
It's kind of
the opposite of your martial arts career where you weren't supposed to admit it before and now you do.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's sort of a reversal there.
Yeah, and I didn't read the books much, you know. It wasn't because he didn't let me. I just, you know, I didn't want to read. I was a little kid. I wanted to look at the pictures. But all I could see was this American guy doing martial arts. And this was even before I started taking martial arts. Because me and my dad were obsessed with Kung Fu Theater. And my mom basically forced us to start taking Taekwondo. Because decided if we were going to break stuff in the house, we were going to do it correctly.
Right.
So, you know, and I kind of personally connected that character, and I've kind of latched onto him. And I still haven't read a ton of his stuff because I've never really liked most of his solo series or, you know, but him as a character, I always recognize personally, you know, and been one that I kind of, you know, if I could cosplay at some point and get the shape that I want, that would be the one I would probably choose.
Right.
And I just like his little tiny yellow shoes with his little capri pants.
You have to love the combination of the house slippers and the gauchos.
Right, and the thunder-sized collar.
Well, right on. That makes sense. Cole, what about you?
I'm going to, oddly enough, this character we talked about very recently, I think we talked about him in the Challenge of the Super Fails because Marvel failed this character so dreadfully. And it's a character, you know, you don't really think about much in martial arts. And when I was looking up various martial arts characters from the your top publishers there, your Marvels and your DCs and what have you, is Puck from Alpha Flight.
Wow, okay.
Because Puck was actually very steeped in martial fighting techniques. And, you know, you don't get to learn how to do that spinning cartwheel thing, you know, just goofing around in the backyard.
I don't know how accurate that spinning cartwheel thing is to...
You do learn that in your backyard, but it takes a long time and a lot of pain.
It's awesome.
But, you know, when you're a diminutive little guy like that, and you've apparently been around for, you know, beating guys up for about the last 40 years, Canadian.
And to boot.
Yeah, to boot. You know, you don't really, you don't see that sort of thing very often. And I think what's remarkable about him as a character is, you know, Danny Rand is built like a martial artist.
Right.
Eugene Milton Judd is not.
It's very true. It's very true. And yet,
you know, it was always such fun to see him kick some ass.
He was one of those characters, like, if they had ever done him, obviously they would have to do, like, some Lord of the Rings type stuff, but Sammo Hung should have played Puck.
Oh, here we go.
Because Sammo's...
people's Jackie Chan?
Well, the thing with, you know, Puck, even though he was muscular, but he was kind of squanty and stumpy, and, you know, that's one thing that was always, like... The misconception of martial arts is always like it's always the big, strong, muscly, ripped, and that's not the reality of real martial artists. There are a lot of those there, and that's actually the direction. But if you go to the 70s, 60s, 70s, and look at them, you have three or four of them that are ripped, and the rest of them just look like the average Joe,
right? Yeah,
you know. And then to see somebody like Sammo who flips and kicks and moves just as fast, if not faster, than Jackie Chan makes you go, oh, wait, maybe I can do that.
Yeah, he's like the bumblebee in that he defies physics. You know, you look at the man and you think it shouldn't be possible.
Right.
In much the way bumblebee flight has yet to be explained.
I'm a big fan. I'm gonna venture out from the Marvel world and into DC a little bit, because I'm a huge fan of. If I can't talk about Shang-Chi or Iron Fist, which are my two favorite by far, the Iron Fist Matt Fraction, the Immortal Iron Fist run was amazing. And I would suggest to you, Bobby, if you haven't read it, and I don't know if you have, where it's sort of that 70s Kung Fu tournament style, where he goes back to the Immortal Cities and has to fight like the other avatars of the other kind of, you know, mystic... you know, being sort of like the Green Lantern type stuff, but they're
right.
Yeah, it's cool. It's super cool. Would have to be Wildcat on the DC side, where Wildcat was trained all of the other fighters in like he there's a, you know, he's trained Batman and Black Canary and Green Arrow.
So true.
And Superman, and anybody who's ever thrown a punch in the DC universe has been trained in Wildcat's gym. So I think Wildcat would be my favorite.
What about Karate Kid?
I love Karate Kid. Him and
he's basically the Iron Fist of DC. He's got the big collar. He's got everything.
Oh, that's so true. And the thing about Karate Kid that's so unique is, you know, he walks in, here's guys that can manipulate, you know, it's like if Magneto and Professor X and Storm had a club.
Right.
And Shang-Chi walked in and says, yeah, I want to join. They're like, yeah, right. And he just summarily kicks their ass. Okay, you're in.
Right, right.
I have a flight ring. Jeez. The thing about it, he's like the only guy who just walked in the door with nothing on him but his high collar.
Well, was he ever intended to be the kind of Batman of the Legion?
He was, because I don't know that he ever did anything but just kick ass, you know?
Yeah.
And you add the flight ring, then it becomes a bit like, you know, when Jackie Chan started doing all the wire fighting.
Well, isn't... I mean, because Marvel has Karnak on their side, which had the same basic... Because wasn't Karate Kid the impetus of the Karate Kid character that he could identify weakness?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not familiar enough with the character. I should...
Because I thought the whole Karate Kid thing was that he could, you know, he could point the, you know, to a structural weakness in something and take it out.
There could have been more to him than that. I just assumed he was just, you know, that his unique property was that he was able to just kind of...
He just an ass kicker?
Yeah, he just kind of came in, was... ass kicker extraordinaire, and they're like, "Well, we don't actually have one of those." And the only people on the backup roster is Matter Eater Lad and Bouncing Boy.
We got a guy who can just eat anything. We've got a guy that can
kick your ass. So which way are we going to go here? So yeah, I think that you may be onto something, because I, when you say that, there's something in the back of my mind that does ring true. Because Karnak could have the power, in addition to being a kick-ass martial artist, with a big head.
Giant melon!
Which is actually, oddly enough, was a superb counterbalance for those high kicks.
It helps.
It acts as a fulcrum. A lot of people don't realize that about him.
Well, you know, you were talking about Wildcat training people, but I don't know if it was before him, but there was also Richard Dragon.
Richard Dragon.
You know, who, he's been popping up from, what, since the 70s? You know, helping everybody, and I think he's even shows up as, like, training the Huntress, like, you know, balding and kind of his age and whatever, you know?
Well, here's the thing about Richard Dragon was that Richard Dragon, all those comics came out during Cole's favorite period in comic books, which was the mid to late 70s kung fu. let's inject kung fu into everything. Let's take a Wonder Woman and remove all of her powers and give her a private investigative service and have her
like the mistress of kung fu.
Exactly. And
a hot kung fu chick. She was like sort of the Wonder Woman version of characters like, you know, Cleopatra Jones.
And they needed that. Well, on the other side, they had Misty Knight, you know.
That's so true.
So Marvel had theirs.
Cleopatra Jones.
Who literally was Cleopatra Jones. And Iron Fist's girlfriend. Let's not forget. But Denny O'Neil created Richard Dragon, essentially. And Denny O'Neil did more for injecting kung fu into comic books than any other creator short of Frank Miller that's ever been in comic books.
Well, and you look at the fact that, you know, from about the late 60s and especially well into the late 70s, the martial arts were becoming less mystified. But during the period where to the West, it was like, oh, you know, it's the strange fighting of the East. They kick with their feet.
As you would.
Yeah.
One would think.
Yeah. I'm going to kick with my hands.
That's how Roosevelt described it when he first saw, you know, Marshall. They kick with their feet. But apparently, Karate Kid, I did a little checking. Apparently, he has mastered every... He's like the Bobby of the 31st century. He has mastered every form of martial arts ever developed.
And he also developed his own form of martial arts that he calls not to be too indicative, but super karate.
That's right, super karate. Well, and also, it was interesting to read the list. It just goes on. There's like, you know, Venusian straddle fighting, which I've never heard of that one, and Shaq Fu.
He knows Shaq Fu. If he knows every form of martial arts.
Gymkata.
Right.
Oh, Gymkata. That's a movie thing we need to revisit on another show.
<That's right>. Well, you know, the issue with...
The star of Gymkata lives in Dallas.
Oh, really?
No, does he?
Oh, wow.
I haven't been trying to get a hold of him.
Because here's the thing about Gymkata. It's a fairly inert form of martial arts, unless you find yourself in a small European town that leads to a center square that houses a pommel horse. If you have that,
it's not a martial arts system. If you're have a script and a set,
that's right.
It's very handy if there are a lot of inexplicably offset parallel bars. you know, just strung between buildings, like piping and such. A lot of exterior piping between buildings. And also, if you ever get into fights in the playground.
Well, you also, it also involves quite a bit of fast talking to distract your opponent, because it takes a long time to wrap your hands and then chalk up.
Oh, yeah.
And wait for the judges. You got to bow for the judges. You got to prepare. The music has to come on.
Don't get me started. You know how much of that crap I have to deal with on a daily basis? I actually, it's so bad that I like bow to people when I see them at the store. <It's> like, I mean, they're like, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm bowing to them. I'm like, "Well, wait, we're not here." Now, I have one of the issues I have, and I think some of the martial arts stuff is lost now in the comics, just like in the real world.
Yeah.
Because now everybody and their grandmother does martial arts.
Right.
You know, it used to be awesome to look at, you know, you see somebody like, you know, I don't know, even Captain America, just punching people.
Yeah.
You know, now he's spin kicking and flipping and,
oh, that's,
you know,
so true. You know,
they used to be brawlers. They used to be just street. I mean, Captain America learned to fight in World War II.
He was cock Hitler.
Right.
Yeah. And then,
I think if he was drawn today, if you like, did like an invader story today, he would just be doing a roundhouse kick or something.
Yeah, and I know it's more dynamic, and don't get me wrong, I love seeing it all the time, but it's like there's two issues for me with it, and it's just like watching a movie. Is one, it's like it loses its awesomeness when every person in that issue knows how to fight martial arts.
Right.
Yeah.
But also when the artist doesn't know how the movements are supposed to be done.
Yeah.
It doesn't, and I know it doesn't matter to most people, but when I see something and I clearly see somebody kicking somebody and it's obviously completely wrong for any style, you know, and their hip would clearly break in half or whatever.
Right.
You know, they could be depicting Rex Kwon Do.
Well, that's true.
I hear that one mentioned in your list of credentials.
Well, let me tell you, I'm a certified street lethal white belt from Ameridote, so.
He's registered, buddy.
That's something that actually, as a martial artist, takes me out of the story because I become fixated on it.
But I think it takes everybody out of the story because there used to be something really special about a character who actually knew. I mean, it was like Cole was saying with Karate Kid, it became a power all of its own. You could have a Shang-Chi, you could have an Iron Fist, and to a lesser extent, you could have guys like Batman. One of the things that made the Bat Family so cool is that they all learned, you know, you got this idea, even not in the 60s and the 70s, but later, let's say in the 80s, when Denny O'Neil and when Frank Miller, you got the idea that they were training to fight, you know, on these different fighting styles because they didn't have powers and they needed that edge. So
absolutely.
But exactly, with the Captain America thing, now you're seeing Captain America, you know, in the comics, like, you know, spinning, like front flip spinning heel kicks and doing Muay Thai and stuff like that. And instead of just, I'm really strong and I learned to brawl on the streets of Brooklyn as a scrawny teenager.
Okay, back in the day, Captain America would have done Captain Kirk flying kick.
Right.
Right.
And nowadays he would be doing, like, you know, crane technique.
Well, and that what is basically
like
what has happened.
Miyagi.
What has happened, and it's the same thing that's happened in movies and TV and everything else, is if you go back and you look at, like, using the movies and stuff, for instance, if you look at old Chuck Norris movies, Bruce Lee movies, even Don the Dragon.
You're going to have a good time.
People like that. Well, and people like that, when they're fighting, they're not doing these flashy moves necessarily. They're using effective techniques, whether it's a kick, whether it's a. You know, it's effective for that situation. And Van Damme and Steven Seagal kind of came along. And Van Damme did the same techniques, but because he could do them in a more dynamic fashion, it opened people's eyes to say, wait a minute, maybe those guys aren't as good as we thought they are. But the reality is they are. They're better.
Yeah,
right.
Because there's a difference in, like, the whole martial arts community of what's called a tricker. And it's not like turning tricks, but it's you see those people that do, like, where they're flip kicking and they're doing windmills and barrel rolls and all this stuff in the air and they're jumping almost parkour style, but they're kicking people.
Yeah.
Most of those people have never trained actual martial arts.
Okay.
There's some of them that are, but a lot of them just went and did tricking classes. They were acrobats. They learned to kick and turn it into a style. But they have no traditional fight training. Exactly,
right.
Kick with your feet. So, but they kind of went on the scene and they started developing, you know, this following, and now, you know, we have all the parkour, and we have, you know, everybody wants to use a very dynamic
theatrical
stuff. Yeah. Exactly, yeah, and that's what they
versus a practical style,
and that's what they've done in the comics. Instead of giving everybody their individuality of fighting, everybody is suddenly a master of everything.
Because there, it was more fun, and it made more sense when you had a guy like Shang-Chi who could walk into a room of superheroes or supervillains and take them out based solely on the fact that he was disciplined enough and he had trained enough to do so.
Well, the amazing thing with Shang-Chi, like, you know, he fought Doctor Doom.
Right.
And then, granted, who in the Marvel Universe, other than actually even Squirrel Girl, has fought Doctor Doom? So, right. You know, there goes that. Literally, everybody, it's like a prerequisite now.
Well,
he's like forced to leave Latveria and go fight. Oh God, new heroes got to go to America.
Right.
There's something magical about it when they would be fighting. You know, Captain America's throwing his shield and Iron Man's shooting his blasting things and all this stuff is happening, and it cuts that one scene where you have, you know, somebody like Shang-Chi who just suddenly just stands there in like a pseudo block position. And he's not moving, you know?
Yeah.
And he's waiting.
I love the fact that you're using terms we have no idea.
Exactly. It's great. I love it.
I know.
I don't want to know.
That's why I wanted you on this show.
Well, as I said it, I realized in my mind, I'm like, they have no idea what the hell I'm talking about.
That's the best part. Because then we look stupider.
But, you know, he gets in a set like that, and, like, you know, they'll cut to the toe so you can see his feet are twisting to prepare for a certain kick. And,
yeah.
And you know he's about to lay this fool out. And they still got the guy who thinks he's so powerful, it's not going to happen. And then when he unleashes, it's just like, you forget that Captain America is so badass and Iron Man is so unstoppable. And you're like, here's this one guy who he just kicked your ass with your feet, you know?
Yeah.
and it made him something special. Where now you expect Deadpool to run in and jump kick somebody in the face. And
well, and the cool thing about, like, I used to read like the Power Man and the Iron Fist. You know, I would pick up old issues or the Marvel Essential books. And the coolest part about it was, you know, once in every five issues, you had like the Wrecking Crew or somebody, and Bulldozer or Pile Driver would be like, well, what are you gonna do? All you can do is kick and punch, you know, and then he would like lay him out flat, and that was always cool to see. It wasn't, you know, like. It wasn't like Iron. You were right. It wasn't like Iron Man. It was like, this is going to be really cool because he doesn't have any powers and he represents what he doesn't represent. What can happen if the government gets a hold of you and injects you with something, or if, you know,
something that they didn't have the foresight to make more than one bottle of.
Well, it also opened up a thing that's kind of, I think, a part of a lost art form in the comics, where it is two different kinds of scenes that they always did with martial arts or fighting things when they were done really well. One, when it'd be like a close-up of somebody's face, and you just see the random fists.
Yeah.
Run because it's the mentality of them hitting him 35 times.
Right.
And then they come back to them. Then they come back to them sitting in like a Song Su or something, ready to keep fighting like they never moved.
Right.
You know? And the guy's like got the stars on his head, basically going, what the hell just happened? You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But the other one is
swelled up and the other eye swelled up.
Exactly. But the other one
like 3 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and the other one is doing the long form. One of the ones that sticks in my brain more than anything is in the Cult miniseries. Was that Bernie Wrights and Drew?
Yes.
Where when Batman is fighting the preacher guy, and it's like all these full body little tiny shots of the punch, each kick, and you see the fight playing out right before you, you know, with all of them in one long thing.
You
know what I'm talking about. It was just, it made it like you see a fight scene happening.
It gave you a lot more. It gave the artists and the writers, if they knew what they were doing, and a lot of them did it, it gave them a lot more range and creativity to do really cool paneling and really cool story layout, because you could have things like the, and I don't mean the video game, but like the Street Fighter movie, like the X-ray shot with bones breaking
and
and, you know, stuff like that happening, and they're getting back to it. The current Deadly Hands of Kung Fu Shang-Chi book and the current Iron Fist books both have kind of gone back to that that time period and that idea, that weird 70s. I love this, and this is off topic, but I want to say it. And you're seeing it with a lot of the Marvel stuff. You're not seeing it with DC. DC's gone this route of super polished giant crossover they've kind of taken it to the they've kind of taken the art form to the extreme of the industry side. You know, where we're seeing a really good kind of stories, but they're all super polished and they're crossed over and everything is, and they're tying everything together real well. And everything is, you know, it's like corporate biosphere comic books. Everything is everything's a cog in a wheel that works well together. And Marvel's kind of taken a step back and gone back to this weird 70s kind of gritty comic for the sake of writing good sequential art stuff in a lot of cases. A lot of their street level fighters, like your Moon Knights, your Iron Mans, your Shang-Chi's, the Elektra books are that way. So kudos to them for that, for taking a chance at being creative, because a lot of them are really like you get your like weird later Kirby, Jim Steranko, like that kind of stuff going on, which is like, yeah, all right, I'm down with this. Like, this is cool. Like, let's take some chances with this. What do you got to lose? So yeah, I'm down with that.
Well, I think one of the reasons it's a lot of it's getting back to where it's working a little better is because of the downside to what I have personally with the whole martial arts world of it being everywhere and everybody and their grandmother doing it.
Yeah.
But what that has done for mediums like the comics and the movies and stuff is it started forcing people to be accurate. So whereas before, you know, I was talking about earlier how you'll see somebody draw a kick and it's completely wrong and it looks stupid and whatever.
Their legs at like an 85 degree angle and it's
yes,
like,
well, no.
They're doing that Kung Fu Hustle, you know, like the bad guy at the end where he's kicking straight up.
Yeah, it's 180 degree kick straight up in the air.
But now I believe that there's so much reference in this material now that they're going and finding images and they're finding stuff of people doing techniques and using them instead of just saying, I'm going to draw a guy kicking.
Right.
They find a guy kicking and they say, okay, that's how it's supposed to look, because there's the little nuances if you know the proper way to do some of the techniques. You know, like for a sidekick, your foot's turned where you're hitting with the heel and the blade and your toes are cocked back and, you know, the foot's slightly angled. They're drawing it that way now as opposed to just throwing the leg out sideways and you're hitting them with the bottom of your foot.
You're familiar enough with the old Shang-Chi books. Would you say that like Mike Zeck and Gene Day tended to use some kind of reference material or have
I think they did, because if you go and look at some of the old covers, you can see where they had done things like fold his toes back on a front kick.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I mean, some of those toes are, it's like monkey foot going on there.
Depending on who was drawing it, sometimes, you know, it was way off, but they seem to pay at least the small details. Like I can almost ignore, you know, something like the foot part of it. But they paid a lot of attention to, like, if he's jumping and say he's doing a kick, where his other foot would cock up out of the way, like you would when you throw the kick, you know, or they put extra bend in the leg that's holding him up while his other leg is kicking to show the counterbalancing of the weight.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't have that whole head like.
Exactly. Yeah.
A Karnak counter.
He doesn't look like a compass from geometry class. He isn't like a 95 degree angle or something.
He's not like one of those drinking birds or anything like that.
Well, have y'all and this is, I don't even know what company did this. I remember seeing it, and I was looking up some stuff in relation for this, but there was a comic called Judo Master.
Okay, that would have been an old Charlton, because that
is that
was,
what it was?
Judo Master was from the same family as Blue Beetle and what's his name? Peacekeeper and the like that DC bought and then.
One of those that I thought was so funny just doing research. Cause I never read it, but some research about it and seeing it, you know, I kind of would like to try to find a collected version of that somewhere, as if that exists. But it's funny because, again, you know, like the irony of like Get Smart, you know, and he would say things like, you know, or maybe it was in Pink Panther stuff when he'd be like, judo chop and chop people.
Oh, yeah.
There are no actual chops or punches or kicks in judo.
It's all throws, right?
You know, so it's, you know, that's kind of the joke. But if you don't know that, it's not funny. You just think, ah, judo chop, that's hilarious. He's saying what he's doing. But you go look at like that Judo Master comic, and the first thing that caught my brain and my eyes was that it says Judo Master is the title, right? You have a guy wearing the Rising Sun looking yellow and red tights that makes no sense.
Yes.
But then underneath the little box, it says Karate, Jiu-Jitsu, Judo. And how is he? I was like, now it should be martial arts master. He's not a judo master. He does everything. It's like,
well, he had two classes in each of the other ones.
Well, he's like you, Bobby. He doesn't want to, you know, brag about it, so he just puts the judo out front, even though.
Oh, I got you. Yeah,
you know, he's trained in all these other.
That guy had a reason to need martial arts the way he was dressed.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you show up in the schoolyard looking like that, you're going to come home with a bloody nose. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I agree, but and it's funny because you know there's some of them like those comics that you know they have them knocking out boxers and they do this and it's always hilarious because they're doing stuff that's not in what they're trained to do, but they're beating somebody that's trained to do that.
Yeah,
it makes no sense, but it. So those what, are the, I wish they'd bring those back because those just sometimes they're just hilarious.
Yeah, they're just fun. What's your favorite invented comic book martial arts style type thing you've seen? Because I've referenced this before, and I want to make sure I get to it. I've talked in the past about the DC 1 million books that came out where they flash forward and then they had to do like a switch where they had to immobilize the current Justice League and then send them into the future so they could save the past, like that whole weird thing that they did in the DC 1 million crossover. But when Batman fought DC 1 million Batman, on Pluto, which was turned into a prison planet, they had a big.
That would be my choice.
Yeah, they had a big fight. You know, like a martial arts duel. The future Batman and the current Batman, and the future Batman has what is known as telepathic octopus style. Because he has a prehensile cape in the future, and he distracts you by talking, and I've always talked about this with Batman before. There was an issue of Batman where Batman, it is supposed that Batman through the timbre and tone of his voice can hypnotize you. Where if he speaks a certain way in a certain timbre in a certain tone, he can hypnotize you long enough to distract you for a few seconds so he can punch you in the face without you putting up any kind of defense. So they square off, except future Batman has actual, you know, octopus telepathy, apparently, that he uses, so.
I didn't know they were actually letting people know that we can do that now.
Ah, damn it! I just gave away your secret.
You have to be fairly advanced to learn that kind of thing.
Right. So what are some of your weirdest, like...
Or have you encountered these?
Well, I don't know of any offhand that are actually like have names, but it's when they take characters like, you know, it's when they try to take a style that exists, and instead of creating something new, they just try to make it like they created it. You know, it's like characters like a Ninjak. they come in there and like he's a ninja, but he's not your normal ninja. You know, and then they embellish it with whatever nonsense they do, you know what I mean, for these characters. And they've done that for a lot of them. And it seems to be, especially in the olden times of the, you know, the 60s, 70s of comics, they kind of did what a lot of the old Kung Fu movies did. Whereas if they needed a new system or they needed creative stuff, they basically just named it after an animal or they named it after, you know, not that those systems don't exist, but, you know.
Like
they,
the psychic octopus style.
Exactly. Right. You know, or they're like, you know, I trained in the wooden palm. You know, and what they do is a lot of times they'll take like the Dim Mach from Bloodsport.
Is that real, and Bobby?
That technique is real. Now, whether it works the way they explain it in that, the death touch is real, but it's a strike.
Do you
and
know
it's
it?
A strike done to a body part that can kill you.
Do you know
it's
it?
Not. It's not like I hit you in the shoulder and in 3 days you're going to die.
Do you know it?
I tell people that.
Can you show me on the... We're going to record something for the live Hey Kids Comics where Bobby kicks my ass in different fighting styles. I want Bobby to try to kill me in 3 days by touching me on the shoulder. Can you try that?
When Andrew doesn't show up for the live show.
You'll know why.
But no, it's that's what it seems to be a lot of the people do. And, they've started doing that in other mediums, again, with the movies and the TV, where they blend like tons of styles. And then they create their own system. And most of them, they don't name it. But if they have to name it, they'll be like, we're the wooden parakeet style, you know? And that way, they'll try to make the guy stand like a bird. And suddenly, they're supposed to accept it. And it's like when you see...
Stone crab style or...
Yeah, when you see somebody say, like, you know, crouching tiger, you know, kung fu, which is a real system. But it's they don't do the real system. They just say this is Tiger style, and then they make people's hands look like claws. You know, and there's more. There's so much more to it. But that's how they've always embellished.
I used sometimes my favorites are Tauntaun style.
Ooh, is that when you get beat down and they cut you
off? Yeah, they hide inside of you. Is that when you hide somebody inside of you?
It's never been very effective for me. I also use Beppo the Super Monkey style.
Oh, nice.
As well you should.
Yeah, which is a lot of flinging of whatever.
I use Cypher's Kung Fu style. That's the one where you just hide in the back and translate things and don't get any direct conflict. It seems to work for me. I know.
It's sort of hide out at the library. You guys go ahead.
That's right. I'll work on these scrolls.
Okay, I'm baffled by what I'm looking at right
did
now.
Did I send you? I sent you the link on how to fight like Batman, didn't I?
Yeah, Batman's gonna get his ass whooped. It's like, he's gonna end up spending half this fight punching himself in the face. Well, and that's the other thing is anybody you talk to in relation to martial arts, since we're looking at these images of how to fight like Batman, that'll explain why Bane always kicks his ass. But is every martial art has their own theories, their own opinions, and any martial artist that tells you my system can beat any system is full of shit.
Right.
You know, and that'll piss people off. You know, if somebody actually hears me say that, they get pissed off in person, they get pissed off in here, because I've even had instructors now who will say, my system can hold up to any system in the world, and that's just not true, because it comes down to the individual. And I think that's one of the things that's gotten lost in comics as well, is in the action, they don't have those people that overpower them because they're a better fighter or they're better this. It's always that clever twist. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, Shang-Chi's fighting Dr. Doom and he beats Dr. Doom's ass because he's a better fighter. And the only way Dr. Doom can beat him is by using his science and technology to destroy him or whatever. It's, we know Shang-Chi's going to win because he's the hero.
Right, right.
You know,
but
so
also,
coming
back to what you were saying there, is it really does come down to the individual, because any given person, you know, even if they have what could arguably be a lesser style or lesser technique, or even be a lesser fighter, could still, you know, just because of their very nature, because everyone thinks about things a little differently, get the upper hand, because maybe they just notice certain things about the way you, well, you know, twist or turn or
the one that always struck me as important, that it wasn't about the fighting style that was better. It wasn't about the power of the person, you know, fighting the other person that was better. Because you're not talking about a Hulk versus Abomination fight. What you're talking about is a fight of discipline. So the hero in the battle, whoever it would be, Shang-Chi, Iron Fist, whoever, would ultimately win by breaking the villain, their concentration, or distracting them through some sort of, whether it be greed or rage or however they would get in their heads to throw them off their game enough to get inside of their defenses and take them out. You know, that was always the thing. Like, that's what made them the heroes. They were able to keep their cool and use their discipline and their training to fight better than the other guy.
And Batman is the only character that they have kept that with forever. Because Batman will come in and kick everybody in the room's ass, but he'll slip up, he'll make a mistake, and he'll realize when he starts to lose, you know, and he'll step up to do something else, whether it's, you know, scam you or, you know, trick you or use his brain against you or pull out like a Sinestro ring to become a Batman lantern.
Whatever he's got,
call
the Batmobile, some bats fly in, whatever.
Repellent.
And that's, he's one of the few, in my opinion, of the heroes like that are kind of the martial arts themed heroes, if you will, because that's not what he was, but he's kind of become that because we all know, you know, his now story that he went all overseas and trained
supposedly,
and did all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but it's, they still haven't made him a kung fu fighter, and instead they still make him an intelligent fighter.
Right.
And even real fighters, despite us, you know, not getting to have little gadgets that we can use in the ring, people that win fights is because they fight smart.
Right.
You know, and they exploit
weakness. I do want to point out, though, that quite frankly, I'd start watching MMA if they had gadgets.
I don't watch MMA, but if they did that, I'd watch it too.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
no, I'd go back and start fighting again if I could use.
If they started them like in a back alley and they got to start on either side, there was cars and stuff in between them, and they had to, you know, make it to the middle and fight. You could use grappling hooks and batarangs and stuff. That would be awesome.
Be swinging around the octagon like Thunderdome.
Tina Turner would have a saxophone and a chainmail bra.
Live. I would.
You have a little midget on the back of a gigantic special ed man. Master Blaster.
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Wait, and you know, and it's funny you say that is with our discussion about how it's kind of lost its magic on some level. MMA is a perfect example of that, because when MMA started, back when I actually, you know, did some MMA, you know, obviously I didn't go pro or any of that kind of nonsense, but it was a Taekwondo guy getting in the ring with a Kung Fu guy.
Right.
You know, or a Taekwondo against a sumo wrestler. You know, but if you go back and look at the old tapes and watch them, it was two completely different styles having to try to stand against the other one, and obviously became the individual, whoever was better, the better athlete, the better fighter. You look at MMA now, everybody fights exactly the same.
Right.
Because they all train, they've taken all those little nuances to everything.
Toward a certain marketable.
Exactly, and now
it comes
down
to the theatrics again.
Well, it's not about.
Well,
it's
well
about
that's how
money.
The comics are now. Is everybody can do the same thing.
Right, and I, you know, the one of the better movie references to this, I think, was in Winter Soldier. And I don't know, it was when, because I'm going to bring him up, because we got to bring him up before the end of the show. We gotta talk about Batroc the Lipel.
Batroc the Lipel.
Which was brilliantly cast.
Oh yeah, yes. Oh yeah. When Batroc and Cap had their showdown, you know, and he's like, "Oh, you're a, you know, what are you without the guy without the shield?" And he, you know, Cap's like, "Well, let's find out." And takes the shield off, and they go at it. And I don't know if Cap was fighting like a certain. It seemed to me, and I'm a lay person at this. It seemed to me that Cap was pretty much the fight choreography was pretty much Cap's brawling at that point. Like, am I wrong, Bobby?
Yes and no. He had a little bit of a style to him, but yeah, he wasn't. They didn't make him, even though he did a lot of like tricking and he did a lot of, you know, specific martial arts moves. It showed that he wasn't per se a martial artist, but somebody who'd been trained to fight.
Right.
Like, and fight and win however you can.
Exactly.
And, you know, and that's why he uses the shield to ricochet. He hits people with the shield and everything else. Where, you know, Batroc clearly had a specific martial arts
what
way
is it?
Of fighting.
What is that style?
Like in real life?
Yeah.
I honestly don't
know.
Well,
what is it in the comic books? What is it in the comic book?
That I don't know.
Yes, you do.
You don't know, you know.
You know, Bob.
Is it capoeira?
It's not, but I wish it was.
that's in Starbucks.
I honestly don't know what it is. It's savate.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Foot boxing.
You're right.
Foot fighting.
Foot boxing.
Yes.
And apparently in Marvel Comics, everyone who is from France
knows how to foot box.
Yeah, because like Le Pelerin. From contest
Tarantula.
Champions. Yeah, they all the had the foot fighting. And again, it all comes down to kicking with their feet.
They're not allowed. It's like river dance, from what I understand. You're not allowed to use your arms or your hands.
It was literally designed to be kicking your ass with both hands tied behind you.
Exactly.
It's basically soccer.
It's basically soccer. Now, let's say
someone threw a ball at the Savati ring, and that's how soccer was born.
Let's say you grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and the 80s, for that matter, and you wanted to join the rank and file of the martial artist, but you didn't know how. There wasn't the comic books created a really easy way for you to be able to do that.
Yeah, they did. They were sort of helped demystify the martial arts in a way.
And what you could do is you could flip to the back of any comic book that came out during that time period almost and sign up to become a karate master master the Dim Mach.
Oh, yeah, or the destructive power punch.
The
learn it the right way.
Right.
And don't think while I was bleeding and sweating and being knocked out and tortured as I came up that I was like, why didn't I just submit that little application with my $5?
Exactly. I mean, it was right there next to the Johnson Smith Company ad with the bang guns and the 6 foot tall Frankenstein poster.
Right. So in comic books, back in the ad section, it became very popular. And I would love to have some numbers for how many people actually signed up for any of these, but you could sign up for Kung Fu. I imagine they're Kung Fu correspondence classes at this point.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know what? It's funny is while those ads aren't really around as much like that anymore,
yeah,
they now have actual schools that you go to that we traditionalists refer to them as belt factories.
Oh.
Where you can, if you pay your money, you're going to get a belt. And I know people that have gotten black belts in less than a year. And it's a brilliant marketing tool, because what they do is they don't let them compete in tournaments. They don't let them train anywhere else. All their stuff is internalized, so they only compete with the people in their school.
Really?
And in their system, so the students don't know any better.
Ah.
You know, they think, you know, they're
making their money, so.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad, because I've had black belts who've come to, not necessarily just my school, but other schools in our federation, and they're black belts, and they get their asses handed to them by green belt, which is like the second belt you earn. Because they don't have the skills and the knowledge to do everything. It's more muscle memory.
That, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to belt tests that were 40 people testing, and it lasted 2 hours, you know, and you know, or to an hour and a half. And I'll do the same amount of tests. That lasts 4 or 5 hours.
Just because people are getting knocked out so fast?
Well, between that, but there's so many different things to do as opposed to just muscle memory. And that's kind of where a lot of the issue is. It's a lot of the way people started drawing some of the comics, too, is it became, you know, like, especially in the 90s with all the Image stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody kind of adopted a way everybody moved. It was super dynamic. It was super, because people, you know, the average Joe doesn't want to see they don't care about a kick being drawn properly or if a guy's blocking the right way or punching the right way. They want to see the big explosive splash page with 35 characters and exploding crotches and
pouches as far as the eye can see,
and as many Gen 13 characters as you can get on a page,
pouches that have pouches on them,
exactly,
pouches within pouches and other pouches
and shoulder pads,
right?
But I do want to point out, though, that back in the day in 75 you probably should have got in on this, because apparently Charles Atlas was offering a free karate jiu-jitsu course.
Really?
To every pupil.
Wow.
Don't be a half man. They didn't want you to be a Tyrion Lannister. They wanted you to learn how to really defend yourself against sand kickers.
those are my favorite ads. I'm so glad you brought that up, the sand kickers, because I will never forget asking my instructor when I got into comics and I'd started seeing some of those ads. I asked my instructor, "How do you defend against somebody that kicks sand in your face?" He said, first of all, you get off your ass.
Right.
And then he said something like, get off your ass, walk over and headbutt them in the face, and they'll stop that crap.
So I didn't know, Bobby, I didn't know that this is true, but apparently it's in print, and they would never lie to me in print. So did you know that in order to join the Ninja Society, all I have to do is send $1 and a self-addressed stamped envelope to Ninja Society, Department 1 at 156 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York.
I love that the Ninja Society is in New York.
Yeah, and they broadcast their address. I mean, who's really going to go try to knock on the Ninja Society's door, though? I mean,
the problem is I sent my dollar to Department 11.
Oh.
I got a little, cross-eyed there right when I was writing out the envelope.
That's the Ginger Society. That's completely different.
Yeah, it turned out to be a whole different thing.
You know what? I really want to know where, you know, not only just the Ninja Society or learn to bulk up and not get sand kicked in your face, or where all this money actually went.
Right, yeah.
It's just somebody's pocket. I mean, we know that's where it went. But who is, like, who's sitting there? You know, was it like, you know, like these Amway type people that's got 50 people in an office that have run 35 companies at the same time. You're like, hey, we got another $20 for the Ninja Society, and they put it in like one of those desktop boxes.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
And it's got like, it looks like almost like a stripper run business because there's dollars everywhere.
It's just $1. Just
exactly. And there's some, and you know, there's that one kid sitting at home in his Halloween ninja costume with the pullover plastic ninja mask, and he's waiting for his free patch and letter from the official ninja from Japan.
Right. the official ninja, your
because
ninja emissary.
The ninja would write you a letter.
Right.
In English.
You send him $1 a week later, there's just a guy in your room sitting.
Just, all of a sudden you feel this presence. That's and right. He slips this letter into your hand and then disappears.
I'm sorry. Like, when I was never there. When I was a kid, I was not only was I obsessed with ninjas, but I would have been scared shitless if a ninja showed up because I've seen what they do.
Right, well, but no, that's, what do you think you
American
get when you send
society? Though they just come and they bring you a letter.
They give you a letter in a patch. Yes, in the patch.
Yeah, that way they save money on stamps.
And what is, you know, like with those things? They always gave you a newsletter.
Right.
What does a ninja newsletter consist of? Well, I went today. We win. There was a horrible Chinese star sharpening accident.
Right.
You know, telling you different ways to tie your mask.
How to make smoke bombs out of relatively
16 ways to recognize a samurai in disguise.
How to wash your uniform without bleeding the colors.
Right, right.
Right.
Never wash your uniform with never wash your black ninja uniform with your white ninja uniform.
Otherwise you just get two gray ninja uniforms.
Yeah, it's not exactly. All right, let's
I have to say one other thing.
All right, yeah, closing statements.
And this has always been something and I found this out a couple of years ago, and it's always thought it was ironic and kind of bizarre. But there's a character named Snapdragon.
Okay,
I don't know if y'all remember Snapdragon.
Vaguely.
I believe she's a female chick.
I remember Snapdragon.
Thank you. She's a supervillain in Marvel, but she's Japanese, right?
Okay.
And I think she was like, she's a martial arts character, but I think she was meant to bring in to like take down Black Widow or something. Anyway, the ironic part of it is she was not only created by George Perez, but also somebody named Ralph Macchio.
Really?
With two C's. So I'm sure it was probably Macchio.
Yeah, Macchiato.
It was ironic. But as soon as you...
It was sort of a Ralph Machiavellian character.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
This, I had to like, what is the name of that character? I remember seeing that and I was obsessed with
it. I remember Snapdragon.
And I've seen...
Also, I wanted to ask Bobby, amongst your many accolades, your many techniques and varieties and species of martial arts that you've mastered over the years, do you have any experience with Quack Fu?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. When I saw that movie...
Not Shaq Fu.
No. I know. When I saw Howard the Duck.
From Howard the Duck, number three.
I saw the movie and he mentioned Quack Fu in the movie.
Yeah. Did you go look for a coupon to mail in?
That's right.
No, but I did go to class.
Okay.
I did a lot of these things at class.
No wonder you kept getting knocked out.
Right. This is how he learned to fight so well.
This is why I don't get hit near as much as anymore, is because I learned to keep my hands up fast. Because in the old days of training, they didn't really pat you on the head and say, "Good, you know, okay, you bless your
everybody
heart,
gets a trophy."
On your way, he would punch you in the side of the head and say, "Get back over there and shut up." But I went to class and I told him I was now studying Quack Fu, and I don't remember exactly what all happened after that, but I do remember that I was in a lot of pain after that class.
Yeah. You were on the ground? You remember that?
Well, it always would inevitably end with sparring.
Yeah.
And saying, show me whatever this technique I think I know now. So I would quickly learn that I, in fact, do not know that technique. You know, and it was whether it was something as silly as Quack Fu or actually going and seeing, you know, a Shokusuke movie and saying, hey, man, I learned this technique. I trained myself, you know, or fatally mistaken that the crane kick actually works.
Oh,
you know,
is that a thing that actually happened?
I'm happy to say that I am not the only one that thought that would work. I just think I was one of the first in our class anyway. But it's funny is almost every martial artist I know that has been in it, you know, for, you know,
long enough.
20-plus years to be around long enough when that original movie came out, has a story about them trying to use the crane kick and it not working. Because the crane kick is basically a jumping front kick, which is a good kick if you can do it fast, but if you stand there and do it, most people just sweep your leg out from under you. You know, or they'll just...
It's actually a very good bit of advice there.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. If you decide to get in a fight and you pick your leg up to do a crane kick... make sure you are well versed in how to fall on the ground because right. you can get knocked down.
Or you can fly. One of the two.
Or you better be way faster than Ralph Macchio.
Right.
Luckily, the guy he fought at the time didn't actually know martial arts. So.
What was his name? Mark Zaputa? What was the.
Johnny.
Johnny. Sweep the leg,
now,
Johnny.
I will give the guy credit because he had done, from my understanding, he had done mild martial arts, and then he actually got heavily into it. And he actually did a few straight to video karate movies with Bolo and some other people for a while, and then he went off to obscurity.
And then he ended up in episodes of How I Met Your Mother.
Exactly.
God bless him.
As himself.
Yep. He Vanderbeeked
it. If only you had had with you at class Howard the Duck number 3.
I know, right?
To back you up. Because it's illustrated. You could have illustrated that Quack Fu is a legitimate system that Howard the Duck used to defeat Count Macho.
Well, I tried to convince him that I was in the movie. It was real. I didn't make it up. I wouldn't be a jerk. That didn't seem to help.
No.
But see, I also did it with things like I would come in and after watching, you know, Chinese Super Ninjas, I would come in and suddenly say, you know, I was a master of, like, Earth Kung Fu. And he would smack me around or have someone else smack me around and then say, we've seen the same movie. You know,
you'd be like, no, I'm the master of Earth Kung Fu and you don't get to know it.
And what's really awesome about all that is even to this day, you know, again, because everybody and their grandmother is trained, it's not as normal as it used to be. But you get that kid every so often that comes in and says, I want to be a Ninja Turtle or I want to be a, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the kid that's got passion.
Yeah.
But it's also the kid that doesn't know it's going to take work. So they usually the ones
completely
that,
misguided. You're not going to just give him a ring or something.
Right. And they come in and then they spend, you know, an hour and a half stretching and doing one block. And they're like, when are we going to start doing this? And they're like, 6 months. And then usually out of five of them, you'll have one that stays. And then in 6 months, they still can't do whatever they wanted to do.
Well, yeah.
Well, that was kind of the point of the whole thing, like at the opening of Kung Fu. If you ever saw, like, the, you know, when they show that the kids coming into the temple and Kane is the only one who, like, him and one other kid make it in because they're the only one who sit out in the rain and wait.
Yeah, well, and that's actually the way, you know, it's not like that as much now because, like, everybody and their grandmother's taking martial arts and a lot of parents treat it like a daycare system.
Right.
Oh, yes.
They don't care if they progress. They don't care if what they're learning. Sometimes it's like, I'll pay for this. It's cheaper than daycare and I can go out.
Right.
And if in legit,
and maybe something will stick.
Yeah, and like I'll tell parents if their kids are coming in there and just in my way, I'll tell them you don't bring him back. He's wasting everybody's time, you know. Yeah. But you get those kids back in the day that, you know, when I started originally, there was probably a class of 10 of us that started together. And out of those 10, my dad was one of them along with me. Me and my dad were the only two that made black belt in that entire 10 group. You know, so, and that's very normal. You'll have one out of the 5 or 10 students that start together that actually get to the end.
Yeah.
And then
I have to ask you, speaking of that end, uh-huh. as someone who has trained and is training future black belts, as a master, do you withhold some of your knowledge?
That's what
I've taken away from every martial arts film I've ever
right.
seen. Is that you know what, you're holding something back on these kids.
To be honest,
so that way, when they come to kick your like elderly ass 50 years
you can
still knock them flat.
Every old school martial artist has specific techniques that they've either developed or they've tweaked that they don't teach as part of their class. And it's not always to hold it back so you can kick your ass later. It's because they don't think about it because it's not part of the normal curriculum.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You know, yeah. like
that's what instance,
you, I yeah, that's what you say. That's what you say.
It's us.
I'll give you a perfect example, and I'll even tell you the technique. When you're using a sidekick, there's multiple ways to execute a sidekick. So you have your stepping sidekick, standard sidekick, your hip-turning sidekick, jumping sidekick, and whatnot, right? So
there's also the Joker technique to execute a sidekick. It's a crowbar.
Right.
Exactly. But I do a sliding sidekick. right? And I learned it from a point fighter years ago that I don't teach in my class, but I use it when we fight. And I've numerous times when somebody
dirty fool
me,
there.
Well, somebody will ask me, and they'll be like, "What the hell was that?" And like, I'll be like, "It's a sliding sidekick," and I keep going because it's not that I don't want them to know it. Is because it's part of my everyday arsenal, but I don't think about it because it's not a traditional way of kicking.
For the record, I just want to make this clear. Bobby's the only person I've ever heard in my life say this and mean it, that he has a quote-unquote everyday arsenal.
Everyday arsenal.
And it just happens. It's just part of my everyday arsenal.
Yeah, it's just my everyday arsenal. It's what I have.
Now when you put it that way, I feel weird.
Not as weird as we feel.
Right. Not as horrified as we are right now.
If it helps when I'm teaching my class, one of the other things I always tell them is I say, I have a Rolodex of weapons in my brain. And half the kids don't know what a Rolodex is. So they look at me insane. And the parents are looking at me like, good Lord, what's in your head?
Bobby has a Rolodex of weapons in his brain. I have a Rolodex of taquerias in mine.
And if I could draw half of what I can think, we'd have an awesome Kung Fu comic.
Oh, I'm telling you.
But sadly, the rotund nature of most of my characters, they don't have the limberness needed for some of my techniques.
They have so many leg muscles, they couldn't even actually affect a sweeping kick like you.
That's right. All right. I'm pulling the plug on this. Let's do some final thoughts, Cole.
I think we definitely have to do a show on Shang-Chi.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's because it's me. And
oh, I agree. So, Bobby, you going to come back for our Shang-Chi show?
What? I'm sorry? Say it again.
Will you come back for our Shang-Chi only show?
Shit, I'll be sitting ninja-like in the corner. You don't even have to ask.
He's already here. Oh, God. Bobby's in the corner.
Y'all will just be talking about it, and all of a sudden I'll be like, hello.
That's right. Here's your membership card.
You sent a dollar in 1975 to New York City. I'm here to collect.
It's like a light will suddenly shine, and it'd be like my Silver Samurai's armor shining all over the world. You'd be like, holy shit, the red sun.
Oh, my. Oh. Wow. So I guess we don't even have to even we just will wheel you into existence that day.
Right.
Yeah, as long as I'm not injured or I'm not out of the country.
Either one of those things, by the way, have to do with actual martial arts fighting.
Yeah,
exactly. Let's make that clear too.
Actually, that would be awesome if we could schedule it. If I could find out if I had a good signal, if I could do it live from over there.
Oh God, yes.
And do that. I have to find out what my internet connection's like and ask them, because I usually use Skype before when I was over there. So that would be awesome to be able to do the martial arts discussion live from Thailand.
Let's do it.
From like China, but Thailand will work.
It's just close enough.
I'm sorry, I'm not making a side trip for you.
Can you please just go to China? Just
maybe I can call you from the airport in Tokyo.
Close enough.
I'm down with that.
Can you bring me those little squids in a sack from the Tokyo airport?
There's a hamburger place there that makes like a fish sandwich, and it has like all kinds of weird squids and shit sticking out of it.
Squids, right. Weird squids.
He has a Rolodex of squids.
Cole has a Rolodex of cephalopods. I have a Rolodex of taquerias. And Bobby has a Rolodex
of
weapons.
I've got Nautilus and cuttlefish and squids. you name it. They're all there.
Was that your final thought, as we need to do an actual episode on Shang-Chi?
Absolutely, yes. I think we need to, because I before the show, I found my collection. I have
nice
all of the issues.
That's awesome. We need to get you the new issues. Is what we need to do. So before I see you next, I'll try to go find and collect all the Shang-Chi Master of Kung Fu issues for you. So
and how awesome is a statement is that now that you can say, I see you next?
Because I know
it will happen.
Well, how awesome is it on two folds? Number one, when I see you next. Number two, there is new Shang-Chi comic books.
It just gets better. Wow.
Bobby, what are your final thoughts on this topic?
I'm still, and as much as everything annoys me and everything else, I'm still obsessive about it, and I still think it's an awesome addition to all of it. I just wish they would, kind of tone it down so it brings back the special nature that we used to get from it, because it was unexpected. But we're also in a world now that everybody expects it, so I don't even think it would have that surprise anymore.
Right.
But it is what it is. Being a martial artist, I'm going to be obsessed with everything. Yeah, I get obsessed with everything. If I was watching a soap opera and somebody did martial arts, I would be obsessed with that. So it doesn't matter anymore.
There you go.
But you make a good point there, because, you know, before the show, I was looking at lists of Marvel and DC characters that were, you know, listed as martial artists. And it's like everybody.
Yeah. Well,
Mole Man? I mean, come on.
Mole Man.
If they ever threw a kick, then they're now a martial artist.
Jarvis.
You know, and it's fun is like in the actual martial arts world, there's a difference between being a martial artist and being in the martial arts.
Right.
So, you know, we tend to take offense if somebody goes, "I'm a martial artist," and you find out they took three classes. You know, most people don't even classify it as a martial artist until you get first degree black belt, which you're also then considered you're now ready to learn. So, but it's, you know, to each his own. Everybody has their own opinions, and I don't try to force bond on anybody else, but if they disagree with me, I'll hit them.
That's right, and you're trained to do so. You know, my final thoughts on this are this. It's so great that I don't have to have final thoughts on this, because coming up on the second week of October, we will be revisiting this very issue
indeed.
On Hey Kids Comics Live, which will be guest starring in some capacity or another, the one, the only Rolodex of Weapons, Bobby Blakey.
That's right. With a very special, amazing...
At least a pre-recorded.
Unexpected.
Right.
Pre-recorded piece.
Unexpected, which we can't tell you very much about, but it's going
to
happen.
All I know is you need to make sure you have that voice come along. On a very special Hey Kids Comics.
Is this just screaming? That's what it's going
to
be?
Like the old Different Strokes episode when Arnold took his the steak knife to school.
Oh, make sure you can open that fridge, long Punky. Episode. Make sure you can open that fridge, Punky.
That's right.
All I'm saying.
That of the bicycle shop.
Oh, Mr. Drummond, no. No, that wasn't Mr. Drummond. That was, what's his name?
That was Maytag Man.
Yeah, WKRP in Cincinnati, I think he was on there at one point.
Yeah.
Why don't we do some plugs, and I will tell you right now, next week is an episode that I know Cole and I have been looking very forward to, because we've talked about it a lot, and according to the schedule that we have made, now that the schedule is subject to change,
absolutely,
we are looking at doing our Comiconomy show.
Comiconomy.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy.
And it was his topic, no less.
Right, the economy of comics. What actually it was kind of it came out of a conversation that you and I had, based on a conversation that you and Steve had at one point, where what special
telling what the origins of these things are.
What special jobs have to be created for, you know, in the world of comic books? How do you make money? How do you, you know, how much is vibranium actually worth? Like, things like that we don't think about, but...
And what ends of the social and economic scale are ideal to practice the art of the superhero?
Right, because it doesn't seem that there's a superhero middle class. You're either a poor
really
superhero
a
or a rich
game
superhero.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, you either got nothing to lose or everything to lose when you're a superhero. There's no middling distance for that. So that's next week. Why don't we go ahead and do some plugs, and then we'll roll out of here. Cole, would you like to
Absolutely.
Do some plugs?
Of course, you're finding us on this show, indeed, through the Jedi Cole Universe, JediCole.com. You can now find brand new, the fabulous first issue has already come out. Hey Kids Comics Live at deepellumonair.com. We are now the second JCU show to have a live incarnation.
There
over,
you go.
With our the amazing, I can't say enough good about Deep Ellum on Air.
No.
Not solely because they've given me the venue to do two live shows now, but...
But they keep letting you come back, so...
Yeah, that in itself, for anyone, would be an accolade, to be sure. But, you know, it's just been an amazing experience. It just keeps getting better, and I can't thank Jansen.
No, Jansen has been
enough.
So amazing. So.
So check out everybody over at Deep Ellum on Air, and we're going to be working with them as long as they'll have us. And that, of course... The Rancor Pit Live is, of course, the first live show that we premiered over there at Deep Ellum with Eddie Medina. You can find us on Twitter. The Jedi Cole U is, or at the Jedi Cole U, I should say. So I don't know what the hell I'm talking about with techno things. you can write to us, and please write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com, because that's where we find out things like the recent correction we had to make.
That's right.
On the live show, because we screwed up the Wonder Twins names. And,
for an hour
Jason,
straight.
You screwed up Jason Jenna?
And you did too!
I know, I was going to say, I don't even know their actual names.
Yeah, it's Zan and Janice, or Zan and Janice,
yeah, see,
Jason and...
Zan and... Anyway, somebody...
Martha.
So check us out there. Now that the bulk of the JCU are... pretty much all of us are here locally now, you'll probably start seeing us a lot more conventions en masse.
Right.
As well as, like, our recent store appearance.
Not at Catholic churches.
No, like, no, we're not allowed at
not
mass.
Not during mass.
Not
during mass, but you will see us. If you want to know about conventions in Texas... or anywhere in Texas, not just the local ones, visit Convention Awareness Project Texas at conventionawarenesstx.blogspot.com. And you can find myself, Andrew, Mrs. Jedi Cole, Rick Gutierrez, probably almost inevitably Bobby and Eddie and other of your JC usual suspects over at United States of Geekdom at unitedstatesofgeekdom.com. And I'm spent.
There you go. Bobby, you got any plugs?
Yeah, I'm gonna do it twofold. We'll go with the comic ones first, and then I'm gonna go another route that we don't normally do.
Okay.
But first, I'm still being held hostage and forced to draw the comics for Cole for the You Are Here, which I believe they come out weekly. We also have Your First Year Here, You Are Here Volume 1 available now, still at Urban Legend Comics and
Tribe Comics in Austin.
And quite possibly coming to a couple other stores here pretty soon. So go out and get your copy. I still have my laststopcomic.com, which has got 6 years worth of comic strips. And I write for the Dallas Examiner, movies, TVs, martial arts. And since today's topic was martial arts, I figured I would pledge my martial arts schools as well.
Absolutely.
You know, so if anybody's interested in studying Taekwondo, I teach at the Raleigh Community Center in Garland. If you want to do jiu-jitsu, the jiu-jitsu class that I'm assistant instructor is Isogai Jiu-Jitsu is at the same rec center, at Raleigh Rec Center. If you want to do judo, the Berceta Judo Club in Garland. And beyond that, I'm hoping to start a Muay Thai class next year after my travels. And coming soon, I will have a website for the Traditions clothing line that's traditional martial arts t-shirts. But if you're interested now, you can email me at info@traditionstx.com.
There you go.
And I'm sorry, was that bruschetta kung fu?
Becerra.
Okay, I thought it was like you know, dry toast with tomatoes.
Well, I mean,
mozzarella.
Well, ironically enough, Mr. Becerra is Cuban, and he likes to eat, so that might be something to it.
Might have had some influence there.
And if you're looking for me on a regular basis, I'll be at the gym.
There you go.
Finally, I do want to thank, when he's not out of the country,
yeah.
I also do want to thank Bobby for, as we were recording this, the 75th You Are Here cartoon.
Wow.
Which I call Universe. 75 weeks. And
I have not seen a dime.
And he could destroy us. So
right.
We should.
I don't know,
Bobby,
how this works. But I had this Batman-like sway over him.
Exactly.
Thank you for coming on and lending some actual professional credence to Cole and I discussing martial arts and comics. And we really appreciate it.
Progressed into chop sake had it been us.
Right. So what do we get? Pigeon accents and
if I could have worked in, you know, saying something, you know, like Trobakiso on your maki and then telling you what it was, I would have, but it didn't really fit. So
can you say something about you need to be like water or it's like pointing to the moon? Is that
I could be so cliche.
It's like a finger pointing to the moon. That was not an accent. Oh, that was
avoiding that.
No, that was a Bruce Lee impression.
Oh,
that was an impression of an actual man.
Okay. So well,
like,
I don't,
it's like if I was to do many years ago. The only,
keep going. You can't stop. You can't begin a Mako impression and then stop. You can't.
You don't walk. You don't drop a charge and walk out of here, old man.
You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit to the wind. You don't start a Mako impression and stop one line in.
This is a dojo, not a knitting class.
In the downside of the impressions is I can do an Egg Shin impression, but you have to see my lazy eye face for it to work.
Yes, and on that note. Thank you for joining Hey Kids Comics. We'll see you next week with Comiconomy. Thank you, and go watch the live show over at deepelvonair.com. Thanks again, Bobby.